Let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We are going to continue our study in the book of 1 John. We're going to begin looking at 1 John chapter 5 in just a few minutes. It's good to see everyone this evening. It's been just a wonderful day to be able to worship God and to enjoy fellowship as we did today. We certainly long for those opportunities. Appreciate Brother Sam's prayer. It is a privilege to be here. I think maybe sometimes it's easy for us to take this for granted. We've been able to drive our nice automobiles and we have a nice building to be able to assemble in and to meet without being persecuted by the government. And we know that has been a challenge in the past for Christians. You study the book of Revelation, and sometimes we forget that can even happen even today. I've been working with a brother by the name of Herschel Bearden, and an older gentleman that's been going to India probably since the 70s, and been working with him and trying to bring two young brothers to the States to preach in school. He speaks very highly of these two young men, and we've been working with the embassy, and every time they go before the embassy, of course they're denied. They won't let them come here. Brother Herschel was in India, I guess about 3 weeks ago, and the government kicked him out of India, and he was in an area where there's a conversion law which keeps people from teaching Christianity, and the government caught wind that he was promoting Christianity and trying to set up Bible studies, and so they basically escorted him out of India. And so there's always challenges, and the brethren in that area have to be very careful when they come together to meet like we're doing tonight. They can't put a sign out there on the road to invite people to come in. It's impossible to have a building in a public area in some of those places. And so as I was thinking about Brother Sam's prayer, I'm thankful that he was thanking God for the privilege of us being able to come together like we're doing tonight to study God's Word. And it is a privilege to be here. Well, as we said last week, we continued our study, and we were studying perfect love. And the Apostle John has much to say about the subject of love. And we notice from our study of 1 John chapter 4, God is love. And it is that love that God has for mankind that gives us a hope of a new beginning. And we see this in John 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world, God loved you and me, that He sent His Son." And so it's because of that love that we can have hope of a new beginning. And we notice from 1 John chapter 4 verses 7 and 8 that God is love. That is who God is. And we then notice in the previous verses reasons why we should love. And there's a verse that I want us to look at as we're making our way to 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 4, consider with me verse number 17. At the end of that verse, the Apostle John says, "Because as He is." Now, John is talking about who God is. "Because as He is." Well, how is God from this context? God is love, 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. "Because as He is," now notice this, "so are we in the world." Because as He is, God is love, so are we in this world. because of that perfect love that the Apostle John talks about, Christians can make the world a better place. Brother Jones talked about the beauty of influence Wednesday night in our summer series. And when we learn to love like God loves us, Christians can make this world a better place. And when we learn to love like God loves, it gives us an opportunity to let our light shine. But we then notice the fruit of perfect love. The fruit of perfect love, as you continue to look at verses 17 and 18, is assurance in salvation. And throughout this book, we've been highlighting the assurance that we have in Jesus Christ. When we grasp what perfect love is, and when we love like God loves, again, it gives us assurance. In fact, the Apostle John says in verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him, because He first loved us." And so perfect love gives us assurance when it comes to salvation, when it comes to eternal judgment. As we mentioned this morning, as we talked about forgiving one another, when we are merciful like God is merciful, when we forgive like God forgives, when we love like God loves, it gives us assurance when it comes to eternal salvation. And so I'm thankful that as we look at truths like we see in 1 John chapter 4, how those truths will build us up in the most holy faith, how those truths can give us and prepare us for eternal salvation. Well, tonight as we continue in our study of 1 John chapter 5, you'll notice that the Apostle John will describe us as overcomers. As Christians, we need to view ourselves as overcomers. Now let's begin our study of 1 John 5 by simply reading the first five verses. And you're going to see that key thought. Again, we view ourselves as overcomers. Now beginning at verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" As I said, God wants us to view ourselves as overcomers. Now, as we think about this thought of overcoming, there are things that we have overcome as New Testament Christians. For example, we have overcome our adversary. We have overcome the devil, the wicked one. You see, the Apostle John, throughout this epistle, talks about our adversary. He talks about the wicked one. You can go back to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John was writing to fathers and young men. Young men who were strong. Young men who were faithful in the Word of God. And he says in verse number 14, "The Word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one." Again, the wicked one has to do with the devil. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, the Apostle John is going to mention the devil. "He that committeth sin is of the devil." That is who we have overcome through Jesus Christ. Now notice with me in 1 John 4, verse number 5, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. Excuse me, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. We understand that the devil is the god of this world. He is the one who is associated with ungodliness. You see, when we obey the gospel, we are delivered from the devil's domain, the kingdom of darkness. And so as we view ourselves as overcomers, it's important to grasp what we have overcome. We've overcome darkness. We have overcome the wicked one. We have overcome the devil. We have also overcome self. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 6, no longer do we live to self. We live to Jesus Christ, and we follow the example of Jesus Christ. We can go through the book of 1 John, and we can highlight various things that we have overcome. We have overcome, again, the devil. We have overcome self. We have put to death self. We have also overcome sin. Sin is something that we overcome through Jesus Christ. We made the point at the very beginning of our study in 1 John chapter 1 that sin is a fact of our past. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, according to Romans 3, verse number 23. Now, as Christians, sin is a fight in the present, a fact of our past, but now a fight in the present. Do you realize that we overcome sin, 1 John 1, verse 9, when we confess our sins? You remember what John says? If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not when we hide our sin or when we try to cover it up. That's not how we become victorious over sin. We overcome sin through Jesus Christ when we confess our sins, when we lay our sins before the Father, like we talked about this morning with the prodigal son. You remember what the prodigal son said? Father, I have sinned. Sometimes it's hard for those words to come out of our mouth, perhaps due to pride, but the devil loves it when we conceal sin instead of confessing sin. In Proverbs 28, verse number 13, Solomon says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God wants us to know that as we walk in the light, we have that continual forgiveness of sins. As Christians, we are overcomers. We've overcome the devil. We have overcome self. We have overcome sin. Here's another point we can make from the book of 1 John, just leading up to 1 John chapter 5 as we think about this idea of overcomers. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Notice that. We have overcome death. We'll talk more about that tonight in our study. But by way of introduction, I want you to realize and see from Scripture that we are indeed overcomers through Jesus Christ. By the way, as you study the book of Revelation, I know you've heard this before, but you see those same points in the book of Revelation. If we overcome Satan, self, and sin, Revelation 3, 5, God says you can come over and live with me forever. That's how we're going to end our study tonight, talking about the victory that we have through Jesus Christ if we remain faithful to God. Victory is ours. But here's a question. How do we know that we are overcomers? Now, I've been stating that we have overcome Satan, self, and sin. We've overcome death. But how do we know that we are overcomers? And we've been presenting that thought throughout this great book. How do we know that we are the children of God? How do we know, as John talks about in 1 John, that we're walking in the light? Anybody can say that they're walking in the light. And you remember how John will lay out various tests which help us determine whether or not we are walking in the light? Well, the same idea is seen here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Again, the Apostle John describes us as overcomers. We're simply asking the question, how do I know that I am one that has overcome the things that we have talked about? Well, there are three characteristics of overcomers that we see here in 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 5. And I'm going to list these out for you and encourage you to really to look at these things, because this is really good material for us to really think about as we think about being one who has overcome Satan, self, and sin. I really need to know that. I really need to know that I am a Christian, that I have overcome these things, and I can know that. Go back, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1. As you look at 1 John 5, verse 1, overcomers, number 1, are born of God. Again, overcomers, number 1, are born of God. And we see that in verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's how we know that we are overcomers. We believe in God and we are born again. Now, the reason I like this verse is I would encourage you to, maybe in your mind, maybe even your Bible, underline the word believe and also the word born. So many believe today that intellectual belief is enough when it comes to salvation. And I believe everybody in here understands what I'm saying when I say intellectual belief. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. Accept Jesus in your heart and you'll be saved. Some might even say all you have to do is say the sinner's prayer and you will be saved. Accept Jesus in your heart and you'll be saved. But what I like about this verse is you'll see a beautiful connection between the word belief and born. It's not enough to just believe in Jesus. We might say believing void of obedience is demonic. Even the demons believe, James 2, verse number 19. But when you stop and really think about what John is saying, in view of other scriptures, there's a beautiful thought here. Well, as you stop and think about the word belief, remember, John wrote the book of Revelation. He also wrote the book of John. And when you go back to John's account of the gospel, the Apostle John is going to focus on this word belief. If you would go back to John chapter 1. And you'll notice just very quickly in John chapter 1, just the first three chapters really give us a great word study on this idea of belief. Well, in John chapter 1, verse number 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." John 1, verse 12 teaches us those who believe in Jesus have the power to become the sons of God. Well, again, as you continue to do a word study and think about the word belief, grammatically speaking, the word belief means joyful trust conjoined with obedience. That's how we would define that word. Joyful trust conjoined with obedience. And that's what you're going to see in John 1 through 3. John 1:12 teaches us those who believe have the power? Well, here in John chapter 2, verse number 23, we see that there were many who believed in His name when they saw the miracles. There were those who saw the power of Jesus, and it says they believed in His name. Well, then we come to John chapter 3, and we have the account or the story of Nicodemus. And you remember what Jesus taught Nicodemus in John chapter 3? I say unto you, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus would go on to say, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now you'll notice how Jesus ties all of this together. And there's a beautiful connection that we see in the first three chapters. Now when we turn over to 1 John chapter 5, you see what the Apostle John is talking about. It really takes us back to John 1 through 3. Again, those who believe have the power to become children of God when they are born again. But before a person can be born again, they have to believe. Just like Jesus said in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, when He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. A person has to believe before they are baptized into Christ. A person has to believe in Jesus before they are born of God. But here in 1 John 5, verse 1, those who are overcomers have been born of God. They believe in God. They are born of God. And we know that one is born of God when one obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. You realize John is not the only one that uses this terminology of being born of God, speaking about a spiritual birth, and we understand that's what John is talking about. He is talking about a spiritual birth that one must encounter, that one must experience in order to be an overcomer. He would go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter, again, is going to talk or use this same terminology. In 1 Peter 1, verse 22, the Apostle Peter says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now again, notice what Peter says. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now look at verse 23. Being born again. You obey the truth. You are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Again, in order for a person to be born of God, one must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can simply say here in verse number 1, one must believe the gospel and one must obey the gospel if they're going to become a Christian, if they're going to be born again. Remember, overcomers believe and are born of God. And we see that process throughout Scripture. We can read about it in the book of John. We can read about it in the book of 1 Peter. And the Apostle John talks a lot about this spiritual birth. We can know that we are overcomers if we believe in God, if we have been born again. But the Apostle John continues just in verse 1, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. There's the second point. We know that we are overcomers when we love all who are begotten of God. What does that mean? It simply means that we know that we are overcomers when we love the brethren, when we love other Christians. Now, as I said, this isn't a new subject that the Apostle John is introducing. The Apostle John has been talking since the very beginning of this epistle of how we should love one another. And by loving one another, we know that we are overcomers. As we've been highlighting, it's loving one another that gives us that assurance that we are the children of God. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1, let brotherly love continue. And you can read the book of 1 John and you can see what brotherly love looks like and how we are to manifest that love. Another picture that you can look at in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 42, after they obey the gospel, you remember they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the fellowship. And remember, Christians sold their possessions because there was a need. You see what real love looks like. Again, we are to love one another fervently. We just read 1 Peter 1, verse 22. When we obey the gospel, we are to have a true love, a fervent love for one another that seeks one another's best interest. And we see that our love for others must conform to the commandments of God. Loving one another is not an option here. It is a command of God. Go back to 1 John 4, verse 21. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You see, a person can say, I'm walking in the light, but in 1 John chapter 2, John says, well, if you don't love your brother, you're not walking in the light, you're walking in darkness. Now John is introducing again a different idea here, the idea of overcoming. We know that we are overcomers because we believe in God, we've been born of God. We know that we are overcomers because we love God, the brethren. And John teaches us how to love the brethren, what it looks like when we truly love the brethren. But notice the last point. We know that we are overcomers when we are obedient to God's Word. Now, as I said, this isn't a new subject here. The Apostle John has already mentioned that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, when he says, hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. As Jesus said in John 14, verse number 15, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. Look at 1 John 5 very carefully. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments, all of His commandments, they're not grievous. They're not a burden. You see, Christianity is a way of life that has boundaries. Let that sink in to your mind. Christianity is a way of life that has boundaries. Do you realize that if it wasn't for God's commandments, we wouldn't know what those boundaries were? If it wasn't for God's commandments, we wouldn't grasp holiness, righteousness. We wouldn't be able to discern between good and evil. And so as we think about Christianity as a way of life, we should welcome the Word of God into our lives. We should welcome those boundaries because God is teaching us and God is helping us live in a way that will bring Him glory, in a way that will be beneficial. You see, sometimes people will think about Christianity and, well, I don't want to be a Christian because I don't want to be burdened by all of those commandments. Well, let me encourage you to develop a different attitude toward the Word of God. And let me encourage you to welcome the Word of God and to welcome every commandment into your life. And every time you see a commandment, remember this, there's a good reason behind it. If God says, thou shalt not, don't get upset at that. Just stop and think, there's a good reason behind it. I tell my children all the time, if Dad says no, There's a good reason behind it. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father, He knows what is best for us. And He loves His children. And that's why He has given us His Word. And so let's welcome His Word. Let's welcome His Word into our lives. Let's welcome that correction at times. Remember the very nature of God's Word in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 will correct us, rebuke us, exhort us. And we need that. We need to welcome that correction into our lives. I'm going to leave you with one more verse and then we'll wrap this up. We'll offer the Lord's invitation. Go back to the book of Proverbs. I had several passages I wanted us to look at when you go to Psalm 119. All of Psalm 119 could fit with verse number 3. But listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs 10 verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. I hope we are wise in heart. Because if we're wise, again, we'll receive all of God's commandments. We won't view God's commandments as a burden. We'll welcome those commandments, knowing that those commandments are there to protect us. Now notice with me verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Dear friends, if we remain faithful to God, we stand in a victorious position over the world, verse 4, over sin, verse number 5. And if we overcome the world, overcome sin, Revelation 2 verse 7 teaches us, we will be granted the tree of eternal life. We'll have eternal enjoyment. Still in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, chapter 2 verse 11, we will overcome the second death. Still in chapter 2 verse number 17, we will have eternal life. That is what can be ours if we remain faithful to God. Again, we stand in a victorious position through Jesus Christ. Love is proof that we're in fellowship with God. Love is proof that we are sons of God. Love is a manifestation of God's presence in us, as we talked about in chapter 4. And tonight, love is an attitude of submission to the will of God. I hope we understand what it means